People I Almost Know, Episode 33.
I thought we've got to try this idea. It might fail and it might be a horrible idea, but at least we can get together and get these women into a place where we can introduce them to hope.
You think you know people, but there's always something more to learn. I don't even know myself that well. But if you ask, people will tell you their stories, and sometimes the stories they tell are as much about us as they are about them. I'm Michelle, and this is People I Almost Know. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. Our guest today is Sue Plum Takemoto, founder of the Nozomi Project in Ishinomaki, Japan. Sue and her husband Eric are missionaries, and they were living in Japan when the tsunami devastated Ishinomaki in 2011. Nozomi women are creating one-of-a-kind pieces of jewelry featuring broken pieces of pottery left in the wake of the tsunami. And today, Sue tells us all about what she and her husband did to help in the restoration efforts in Ishinomaki and how the Nozomi Project came to be. Here's Sue.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sue Plum Takemoto, and my family and I are missionaries in Ishinomaki, Japan. We're with an organization called Asian Access, and we're working with a group of house church networks up in our region called B1. And it's great to be with all of you.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here. Now, you work with the Nozomi Project. Did I say that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Nozomi. Can you break that down? Because I when I was looking into the Nozomi Project, I saw that that was actually a couple of levels, I guess. You're
sure.
Part of a missionary. I want to fully understand that part.
Like how this all works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if I give a little bit of the history of Nozomi Project, I think it will help it make sense.
Okay.
So we are up in the region of Japan that was hit by the tsunami and earthquake in 2011. And we are working with a project called the Nozomi Project, where we're employing local women and making jewelry out of the broken pottery that was left in the remains after the tsunami came and went.
Okay. Now, but Nozomi Project, when you say you're missionaries, your husband's a missionary too?
Yes. My husband is from Hawaii. He's Asian American. We met in seminary in California, actually,
aww,
and from there decided to come over together as missionaries. So we've been in Japan for about 14 years together. So he's got a Japanese name, but he's American.
Okay, but you were already there in Japan when the tsunami happened?
Yes. Yeah, we were about 15 hours away by car in a different region of Japan,
okay,
outside of a big city called Kobe. And we were doing church planting at the time when the big disasters happened.
Wow. Okay, so your missionary group, what is the missionary group?
So our missionary group is called Asian Access. And
okay,
they work with all different kinds of churches in Japan, helping to start churches and work with different Japanese churches.
Okay.
And when the tsunami happened, a number of missionaries, including my husband, were among the first to respond and to come up as quickly as possible and bring supplies and try to help out. And right away, my husband Eric started connecting with a group called B1, which is a Japanese house church movement that had also responded really quickly. And over that next year, Eric came up, I think it was about 16 times, and I was counting every single time because I was home with our four little kids at the time. But he would be coming up and stay for a week or 2 weeks and helping, and then he would drive back down, and then we'd fill up the van again, and he would come back up and work for a week or two. And through that process, we just really loved this B1 network that Eric was working with, and we really felt the Lord calling our whole family to move up here as we realized it wasn't just going to go away. It was going to be years and years of recovery work.
Wow. So Nozomi Project, was that something that was your idea or was it a group idea? Because you run the project, is that right?
Yes, I guess I'm technically the director and I guess the founder. I'd like to jokingly say it was God's idea because I've never done jewelry and I've never been a business person. I'm really bad. I don't balance my checkbook or anything. And so I just knew, like, when this idea came, it was one of those, well, God, if it really is going to happen, you're going to have to do it all. And it's just been amazing to see how God, really, it's been God who's done it from the beginning. But the first time I came up, it was about 4 months, I guess, after the disaster had happened, and we were cleaning out a park, just a bunch of rubble and debris. And as we would get down to the ground part, there was all this beautiful broken pottery just everywhere. And, you know, Japanese love dishes. They love little dishes. And when the tsunami came through all these homes, it just left broken dishes everywhere. And so I picked up a bunch of it, put it in a bag, and thought, we've got to do something with this.
Wow.
And my friend cleaned out the van and threw that bag away.
Oh.
but the idea remained. And a month later, I saw a catalog from the Starfish Project, which is working in China. And I saw this page, and it had these necklaces that looked like they were made out of the same pottery I put in that little bag. And that idea was kind of born then. And it was through an amazing team who was willing to believe in this crazy idea and work together that God brought the Nozomi Project into fruition.
I'm wondering, how long did it take from your idea to actually getting there and having it actually be an organization with women that come in and make the jewelry, and, you know, a really working organization?
Yeah. Yeah. We just, in October, we celebrated the second anniversary of the business of Nozomi since we started paying women. And we're employing 16 or 17 women right now. We were at 19. We've lost two staff and hope to get back up to a 19 or 20 over the next month or two. But we're paying these women. And when our family first moved up, it was a year after the tsunami, and we put our children into the local elementary school, and that school had been, the whole first floor had been covered by the tsunami, and so the kids were going from that school ground by bus up to a temporary school that was in the hills near us, near where we were living, and so we would drive our kids to that bus stop, and then all these kids from the local area who had just been through this horrific disaster were going to school with our kids. And our desire really was to walk with people through the aftermath and through their pain. And so we had our kids go into the local school. And I quickly became friends with the moms who were at the bus stop waiting or dropping off their kids or waiting for the bus to come back. And I just would see these desperate, lost eyes, just such sadness and such grief. And it was as I became friends with these moms that I thought, we've got to try this idea. It might fail and it might be a horrible idea, but at least we can get together and get these women into a place where we can introduce them to hope. And so I guess about 3 months after we had moved up here, I talked with a couple of the different women. I had had tea with one of the women, and she said, oh, I used to make jewelry when I was a little girl, and I was running a business, but it got washed away by the tsunami. And I just looked at her like, Yuko, I need you to help me. And so Yuko's like, sure, I'll do whatever. And so Yuko was the first one to really step up. And then we just talked to other moms who I met, and we got them all together in a guest house. And our kids went out and they got buckets of this broken pottery. And we said, okay, we don't know what we're going to do. We're going to try to smooth them out and solder, but let's try it. And the second day that we were meeting, a team from LA was coming through to kind of see what was going on in the disaster zone and help churches. And they called and said, can we stop by? And I said, well, you sure? We're doing this kind of crazy jewelry thing. So they came in, and it was a pastoral team from a large church, and they all said, you have to meet our friend Lisa. And so I got in touch with Lisa. She makes jewelry in LA, and God just gave her a heart and a vision for what my vision was. So we met in person, and then she came over 2 months later with another friend who makes jewelry and taught the women the real way to make jewelry, which I had no idea. And Lisa said she prayed for 6 weeks and came up with some beautiful jewelry designs that would use the shards, the broken shards, and we were able to find ways to smooth out the broken shards to make it, so it would be really smooth as jewelry. And so October 2nd, about 3 months after the first time we met, we started paying the women, and we just said, let's give it a shot and see what happens. And so we just finished 2 years.
That's really amazing, though, how, and speaking of, you know, God, good being God's idea, it's like you say, okay, I need your help. I can't do it on my own, and I don't know what I'm doing, and yeah. I'm going to give this to you, and you make it happen, and then all the right people, because maybe if you had been talking to that group of moms, and they had just been like, yeah, that would be good, but you hadn't had Hugo that says, I know about this, and I'm willing to, I want to help with this, and I want to do this too. And then you just meet the right people at the right time. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Like he put those people like there.
It so much made me believe more in being willing to go out on a limb with Jesus, like never on your own and never ahead of time, but with Jesus. And sometimes, I mean, honestly, I put myself out there sometimes, but I really believed it was what God wanted me to do. And there was this one mom, she had a son with autism who was in my son's class, and she was super shy and never talked to any of the moms, never made eye contact. And I was walking past her first morning that we were having this gathering, and I felt the Lord say, I want you to invite her. And I was like, no, I do not know her at all. She never talks to me. She never looks at me. She's going to think I'm stupid. And the Lord said, no, I want you to invite her. And so I just went over to her, and she, like, jumped out of her skin that this crazy barn lady was coming over and talking to her, you know. But I just said, we're doing this jewelry project, and you're probably busy and can't come, but if you're interested, here's my phone number. And I walked away. Like, I was a chicken, but I knew I had to do it. And the next morning, 8:45, she called, and she was like, this is, you know, the lady you met yesterday, and can I come? And she is now one of our line leaders for necklaces. And just a month ago, she prayed and made a commitment to follow Christ, you know. And I am so blessed by what God loves to do when he gives us a vision and we walk with him through it. So,
yeah. Well, and this is a little bit, I don't want to get too far off our topic, but it is, when you said that, I was like, you know, so many times I feel like I'm being told to do something, and I let my fear of rejection, I guess, is what it is. Make me tell God no. I'm like, true disobedience.
Yes.
You know? So you guys have been there. The earthquake, it was an earthquake that caused a tsunami, right?
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Okay. And that was March 11, 2011. And, you know, this is one thing where you said you guys were still working a year, like you didn't move there till a year later, and there was still lots and lots of work to do, you know, talking about the kids having to go to a different school and everything like that. So how are things there now? And I don't want to butcher the name, is Ishinomaki?
Yes, you said it good.
Yay! I practiced last night, actually.
Yeah.
so, like, you know, it seems to me like, a lot of times these disasters happen in the world, and you know, there's an immediate focus, and then I mean, part of it is, I guess, it gets replaced with another disaster or some other kind of, you know, something in the news or whatever. And from me here in the United States, and I can only speak for myself, but I, you know, it's out of my mind. You know, I'm thinking, oh, everything's, you know, after a year or so, everything will be fine. But it sounds to me like it's not fine even 3 years later, or almost 3 years later. Well, 2011, 12, 13, 14. So almost 4 years later, right?
And yeah, it's coming up 4 years. It's 3.5 years, yep.
So what has been the lasting impact there of the tsunami, you know, just all the devastation that was there? Because it's still going on, the impact, right?
It is still so far from over. And, you know, when we moved up here, I remember my husband saying it's going to be a good 10 years of physical rebuilding, you know, and that's not the emotional and other parts. But we still have many friends who are in these tiny temporary housing shelters that the Red Cross built.
Really?
And they were supposed to only last for 2 years. But the government has had all kinds of issues in not being able to get more permanent housing built. 50% of our city here was hit by the tsunami. And so, you know, half of the housing was messed up. And there still are many, many people who don't have good housing. And that affects jobs. It affects many things. It affects school districts. Our kids' schools, there used to be two classes per grade level. And now in the first to fourth grade, there's only one class because of both children who died, families who don't have homes to move back into the area in, and you know, they want to be able to move back. So there's just a lot of red tape issues with the government, but it was just so completely devastated that the rebuilding is taking a long time.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I was thinking about is, you know, even if you have the people there that want to rebuild, and there's two things. One would be money to rebuild everything. But the other thing is that in the meantime, you have to have a job so that you can have food for your family and shelter for your family. So it's not like you can just say, okay, my job is to clean out my city and rebuild it. Like when you're talking about people having to move elsewhere, because they have to, they have to support themselves in the meantime. So everything that they would do would be, you know, kind of on their own time. Like, and I can't imagine having my full-time job and then, you know, every day off, you would go and just let's clean things on the very basic level. Let's just clean things.
Yeah. And there's a really, it's kind of crazy. It's not your typical image of Japan where we're living. It's a kind of a fishing environment, and there's a very high divorce rate, a lot of single mothers. And so for these single moms, you know, to have kids in school and to have to find jobs where they can miss school if their child's sick, that was one of the biggest things we found at the beginning. Was so many of my mom friends would say, well, I can't work because I'll lose my job if my child gets sick. And that was one of our visions at the beginning, was to be able to say, you can miss your job anytime. You won't get paid, or you won't lose points, or, you know, you're not going to lose your position if you can't come in for a week if your child has laryngitis or whatever. So,
well, and that's something I never would have thought of, you know, as being a concern, you know. Wow. Okay. So, tell me about the women who come in and make the jewelry. How do they become involved? I mean, I know it's a job, so you have these two openings. How do you find women, or how do they find you, or do they have to have experience, or how does all that work?
Yeah, no, you know, when we started, it really was a network of women who I met and who maybe a couple other women on our team met and got the word out. And they just came in. Really, every single one of the women who walked the door was like, well, I can't do anything with my hands, or I don't know how to make jewelry. And I would just say, I don't either. Let's figure this out together. And then Lisa and her friend Rebecca came and taught them. And the Yuko, who I mentioned at the beginning, she turned out to be God's most amazing gift. She's awesome at making jewelry. I mean, she didn't have training, but when she got a little bit of training, she got really good. And so she helps train the women. So they come in without any experience, but, you know, we provide the training, and they start with the real simple lines of jewelry, some of our leather lines that don't take as much expertise. And The longer they're here, they move kind of up the ranks in what they're able to do to making more difficult jewelry. And so when we have women come in for the first time, now what we're starting to do is to try to get a sense of what they might be good at. Because there's one branch is the women who are doing the grinding. They're taking the broken pottery and they're cutting it down to the right size, and then they're grinding it to make it smooth. So there's that. There's one room that does that, and then there's the women who make the jewelry. So, and then there's some support staff too. So we kind of get a sense of what they're going to be skilled at, and then we train them. So I mentioned we have 16 women right now, and we're hoping next month to bring in about 3 more. And so at one of my son's schools, I became friends with a couple moms, and they're both interested right now in coming and checking it out. So we're going to have them come in January. But it really is just word of mouth. And rather than looking for people skilled, we're almost looking for the opposite. People who aren't skilled and need work and want to come and learn. So it just feels like God brings the people at the right time when we're able to handle it.
So that goes back to the just trusting that it's going to, everything's going to be how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, we pray a lot. And I have to tell you that we have had some challenging personnel issues.
Really?
We have women who've gone through really hard disasters. Women, I mean, anybody who went through it and survived was incredibly traumatized, I think. But we have women who lost family members and who lost their homes and have just had great loss. And then you put that on top of whatever else their life issues were before that. And there's a lot of women who need healing and who don't have skills with other people. So sometimes we say, if you have 16 women in a room, anywhere in the world, you're going to have problems, but it's compounded, you know. So we've had challenges, I have to tell you, but I really feel like that's why we're here. We're here because, you know, that's God's heart, is to love people who are having challenges. And we're all broken people in reality, and God loves to make beauty from brokenness.
It's like the people are the equivalent of the pottery, too.
It is. You know, really is.
I think that is what's required of us, too, is to be ground down and then polished, you know.
Yeah.
You know, let God do that for us. So that was one of the things, actually, that really touched my heart. And when I would read, and I'm going to post these things on the website, too, so other people can read them. When I was reading that, the paper that you had sent me, and, you know, looking even on, you know, on your website, on the Nozomi Project website, at some of the things that the artisans were saying, the women were saying, is that it was so much more than just employment, you know, that there was, it was just way more than just a job, you know, that was so much about the community and the support.
Yeah. When we were first meeting in that guest house, and we would gather and try to figure out what we were doing, when we started really thinking something could come of it, we needed a name. And so I just asked the women there. It's like, what do you think we should call this, whatever this is? And one of the women said, let's call it the tissue club. And we all just laughed because we would start working and start grinding or doing whatever. And then somebody would start telling their story of the disaster and what happened. And we would stop working and pull out all the tissues and cry for a little bit. And then we'd start to work again, and then we'd start crying. So we were kind of joking about the tissue club name. But then one of the women who was there, she said, whatever we name it, it has to have the word hope in it, because for the first time, I finally have hope that we might get through this. And that was when we decided on the name, the Nozomi Project. Nozomi is a woman's name in Japanese, and it means hope. And it just felt like that was the perfect name for what God was calling us to be about there. So we have kind of two main desires. And one is, I use my left hand. We're trying to create sustainable income, and so make a business that's going to be sustainable for these women. And then the right hand is the community, as we're trying to provide a community of hope for these women as while we're doing business. And it's a hard model, honestly. We're always balancing that tension of a sustainable business where you have to keep hours, you have to keep time cards, you have to make sure everybody's working their wages.
Yeah.
And yet, when there's a need and we need to stop and pray, we stop and pray. Or we stop and, if somebody has to share something. We have a woman right now whose husband's kind of going wacko on her, and sometimes one of our staff will just have to leave with her and go and counsel and pray with her before she can go back to work. But we believe so much in walking day by day with these women and living out who we think Jesus wants to be in their presence, and asking God for the grace to do that while we're working, while we're doing this business.
Well, one of the questions that I had on my list was basically what you just answered, is that Nozomi is Christian based, and I was wondering, how that impacts your business model, I guess.
Yeah, the women who we've brought up to be like at management level, they're not necessarily at the same place that we are as believers. And so we have to have hard conversations, and I'm still learning what that balance should be. But anybody who comes in for the first time, we just say we are a Christian-based organization, and we really believe in Jesus as our hope. But you don't have to be a Christian to work here, and we're not going to force anybody to have to do anything that we don't believe that's what the gospel's about even. But we have a weekly staff meeting, and during that time, me or one of our other Christian staff will share something God's been doing in our lives, or a scripture, or something that just kind of tries to make it relevant. And we start every morning, we gather in one of the rooms, and we just pray together. And sometimes one of us will just read a short scripture or share something we've seen God do. And then we have different groups who will come through, and we'll have teams come through, and they have a couple people who love to pray. And so we'll just say, hey, Friday afternoon, we have a team coming, and they'd love to pray with any of you. And then the women sign up for prayer times. And so they sign out of work, and then, that's kind of like their time off, and then they come back in. But even during that, man, we've seen God do amazing things. And we're doing a Bible study on Thursday mornings before work, and there's four of the women are part of that with us now. And it's so amazing how God just opens up the scripture to these women, and they see that God is real.
So switching back gears again a little bit, I wanted to ask, you mentioned in the beginning that the kids went out and got buckets of pottery, you said.
Yes.
So how do you, is it really just that much of it all over that there's still a lot of pottery? I mean, how do you find the pottery that you're using now 2 years later?
Yeah, we're We're not getting much now, but our first 2 years, when we would have volunteers come, we would ask them if they would spend a couple of hours gathering pottery. And there were some areas that hadn't been bulldozed yet, or they hadn't been built up yet, and just had lots. You know, you could just walk through and get a big potato sack full.
Really?
And just last Friday, I think, I wrote on my blog this story, but my daughter Annie's best friend in her school, her hamster died, and the mom works with me at Nozomi. And so the mom said, oh, would you and Annie come while we bury the hamster, Nana? And I was like, sure, we'd love to go. Well, we went. They're building a new house because their old house had gotten washed away. And so we were in the backyard burying the hamster, and just all around us was some broken pottery. And so we just gathered up handfuls of it and brought it back with us. But it's like you go to certain areas and it's still all over.
Wow.
It's not nearly as much because they are doing a lot more bulldozing. But my son comes home from school every day and usually has some pieces in his hand that he found coming home.
Wow, that's just crazy.
Yeah. The volunteers who came through, who have come through over the last 2 years, we were able to fill a tent and a shed full of broken pottery. So we have got a great supply thanks to many hundreds of people who've helped us do that. So we have a tent and a shed full, and then there's a local secondhand store that my husband became friends with the owner, and he said they're getting boxes of stuff. As people are moving from their temporary housing back into real housing, they're finally cleaning out all of their tsunami stuff. And so they don't want to deal with it. So they'll just bring the secondhand store boxes and boxes of their old dishes. Half of them are broken. And they save those for us now, too. And so we also have those coming in. So we have got years and years supply for this business, which, again, is just God's grace to us, I think.
Wow. Well, and one thing that struck me is in the beginning, you said they were burying the hamster and their house got washed away. And I was thinking, that is such a crazy, awful thing. And I know that it's not nonchalant for you, but just how that sentence rolled off your tongue and it was so normal for you to say is amazing.
I know. And it sometimes, like, we were standing there and she said, yeah, this is where I grew up. My house had been here. And I held up this pottery. We had this broken pottery in our hands. And I said, so could some of this have been pottery from the dishes from your home? And she said, oh, I don't know. She said, but my parents couldn't come back to this land. After the tsunami, they never came back to see where their house used to be because it was just too difficult. And you know, there's still people just still so raw 3.5 years later. And like some of the women we work with, they just don't want to talk about it. They can talk about anything else except that experience because it still is so raw.
Yeah, I can understand that. And the little note that I had to myself about how do you find the pottery? I've said making beauty and building a future out of the destruction. And that's what you guys are doing. That's what you have to do.
Yeah, it is. And there's still, like when you were asking me earlier about challenges, I was just thinking, we still have some fairly significant earthquakes and aftershocks.
Really?
I'm still not sure what they are, but a week ago, we were over at the Nozomi Project working, and the whole place just started rocking. Oh. It was one of the worst that we'd had in a while. And in some ways, we get used to them, which isn't good either. But I kind of went around from room to room, and I went in the grinding room. And one of the women, she just turned her face real quick, and she was crying. And she said, did you find out what number it was? And I said, oh, it was a 5.8, and she said it felt worse. And she just said, "I'm sorry you're seeing me crying." And I said, "Please don't tell me. Please don't say that. You know, that's why we're here." But things like that, you know, there still is, you think you can move on, and then things like that happen, and it comes back again. So
I'm wondering, will it ever be done? Will there be a day where this is, or do you see that, that you'll be like, okay, we're done?
Yeah, we pray about it a lot. You know, Lord, where are you leading? And do we want to turn this over to be completely run by people from, women from Ishinomaki? And it's interesting, that was what we started going for. And the longer we're in this, the more I think that God has done, he's doing something really special in this blend of North Americans and Japanese working together. And again, it's not easy. We have communication issues all the time. But it feels like God's doing something really special, and it's a really neat model that it feels like we're able to bring this, like, openness, and the Japanese are able to supply more of a structure and a systematic way of doing things, and it's a really neat balance. And then we get to bring Jesus into all of this. And so do I think it's going to be over? I don't know. I just still see a lot of light and hope going forward from here. And I give this to God all the time and say, God, you could take me out. You could shut this down. Just show us what you want. And God might bring in somebody who's got a, you know, more of a background than I do at some point, and I can go back to being mom and whatever God wants me to be. But for right now, it feels like we're at a really exciting place of moving forward and looking for ways to see God continue to grow up these women, give them dignity, provide jobs for them and skills. And, you know, for the women who just are reaching toward Jesus to disciple them. And so for right now, we just pray that God continues to guide us and that he stays in control of all of this.
Well, what can we do as, you know, listeners to help you guys? I know you have your website, NozomiProject.com. What can people do if they want to help you guys? You know, obviously buy jewelry. I saw that you host parties. You can do that in the U.S.?
Yes. Yeah, so on our website, there's a link for Get Involved, and we have something called Nozomi Partners, where you can sign up ahead of time. And if you're doing like a church bazaar, or you just want to have a home jewelry party, or your VBS group wants to sell it, whatever, we would send you a stock of jewelry, like $1,000 to $1,500.
Wow.
And then you would sell it for us, and we would give you a gift certificate as a gift for selling it for us. And then you would send us the money and whatever jewelry that doesn't sell. But we've kind of been systematizing that, and we're sending out one or two orders a week like that.
Really?
And
a week?
We just kind of have a list.
Wow. And I saw also on there that you were looking for interns. So people, you know, is this usually young people, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we're looking for an intern who would have skills, especially who could help with some of the computer issues. And if it's somebody who knows a little Japanese, that's even better, or somebody who has a heart for Japanese people. But that's something, it could be a 3 or 6 month term placement. Visas are a little bit hard to come by, so we just usually do the shorter tourist visas. But we're working on refining our application for that, so anybody could write to us. There's a contact us on the website, and you can just send Sue an email. And I would love to hear that you listen to this too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought that what a great opportunity for somebody to come over and experience the culture and do some really good work. You know, I thought that was really neat.
Yeah, we've had two wonderful interns who worked with us, and our staff just loved them, and they loved our staff. It was really, really special.
Oh, now, okay, so Nozomi Project, I've got a couple places where people can find you all, and it's Nozomi Project, .com. And then you're on Pinterest and you're on Facebook. Any place else that we can find Nozomi?
We've done a little Instagram, not as much, but I think Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest, yeah, would be the best places, I think.
Okay. Well, I will link all of that, and I'm gonna you had shared with me a video that's on YouTube that was just really a great video. I'm gonna put that on there too, and I would hope people if you're listening, if you can check that out, come to the website. It's peopleialmostknow.com and just check out the video, and then I'm going to link that paper.
Oh yeah, it's the Japan Harvest magazine, and a missionary colleague who is really into the arts in the Tokyo area wrote an article about Nozomi Project and really linked the idea of art and creating something and healing, and I just loved his slant on it. So
Yeah.
he said, feel free to go ahead and link that and share that.
Well, thank you so much. I'm going to put that on there, and I would encourage people to read that. It really gives it has the words of some of your artisans on there that really touched my heart a lot, and I thought that was just amazing to hear in their own words what it meant to them, and how important this has been for them. So I'll link that as well. And is there anything
Thank
else
you.
that we forgot?
I would love people to share about this as ideas for Christmas gifts. And I think we have found that it's really word of mouth that is the best sponsor for Nozomi Project, is people just saying, hey, this group is making quality jewelry, and it's all going back into the women's lives and into Nozomi Project. So we don't get any of the profit or any money from the project at all. So I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that.
Thank you, because I did forget to ask you about that, because that was the impression that I had gotten, and I meant to clarify that with you. So that's really good information. Well, thank you, Sue. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again to Sue for chatting with us today. I definitely encourage everyone to check out NozomiProject.com as you're doing your final Christmas shopping. There's so much lovely jewelry there, and such a great and uplifting story to share with that gift. That's NozomiProject.com, Nozomi Project. Or just stop in and say hello to them. They'll be glad to hear from anyone who has heard the story, and just give them some encouragement and support. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Michelle, and this has been People I Almost Know. If there's something you'd like to talk about or someone you'd like me to talk to, you can drop me a line on the website or give me a shout on Twitter or on Facebook. And if you'd like to meet other people I almost know, subscribe on iTunes or on the Stitcher app, or visit peopleialmostknow.com.